So that night, there were shepherds staying in the fields nearby, guarding their flocks of sheep. And suddenly, an angel of the Lord appeared among them, and the radiance of the Lord's glory surrounded them. They were terrified. But the angel reassured them. "Don't be afraid," he said. "I bring you good news that will bring great joy to all people. The Saviour, yes, the Messiah, the Lord, has been born in Bethlehem today, the city of David. You will recognize him by this sign. You'll find a baby wrapped snugly in strips of cloth, lying in a manger." And suddenly, that angel was joined by a vast host of others, the armies of heaven, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest heaven, peace on earth to those with whom God is pleased." We're going to step into that story, that beautiful story, the day when Jesus was born. When I read it, it came, I saw a different light slant on it. I read it differently than I've ever read it before. And I thought about the shepherds. That was their job. That was their responsibility. That was their role. And I kind of asked myself, what's our job? What's our role? What's our responsibility? They looked after the sheep. In your life, in my life, who are you looking after? Has God brought family into your life? Has he brought friends into your life? And he wants you to be that shepherd over them, just like they were shepherding those sheep. And their role, it was one to provide security and safety on the hills outside of Bethlehem. And I wonder, who are you providing security and safety for? Who are you protecting? Whose lives are you guarding? Those sheep that night when they settled down to sleep, they were just unaware that a shepherd was watching over them. A shepherd was caring for them. A shepherd was staying up all night, being alert, being watchful in case of danger. And God has made some of us to be those shepherds. And one thing that really blessed me when I thought about it is there is no lower age limit for shepherds. In our schools in Widnes, we've got young men and women who are shepherding those in their year. I didn't think I'd cry this early on into the preach, but they are. They've stepped up to the plate and they are concerned about people in their class, in their year. They want them to know Jesus. And so they start in groups. They've got groups going where they can talk about their faith and they can share their faith with others. They're shepherding. They're using their circumstances. They're using the fact that they're on a hillside in Wadeacon or St. Peter and Paul, and they are using that platform to draw other people to Jesus. That's amazing. There's no lower or no upper age limit to this. And I am inspired by those shepherds. I am. Often, obviously, it's night time, isn't it, on that hill in Bethlehem. It's night time and the sheep are asleep, but the shepherds are alert. I remember, like, when my kids were little, they're in the 40s now, when they were little and they had a cough through the day. And it didn't seem so bad. But when it got to night time, it was like awful. And you'd be just like, oh no, getting really worried, really anxious about them, because there's just something different about night time that makes things harder. And I wonder for you, is it a night time season for the person that you are shepherding or caring for? It feels like this is a long night and it's never going to end, but it will. It will, because God can see and God's watching over that. And from those words that we read today, first, there was one angel. One angel suddenly appeared in the sky in the blackness of that night. One angel suddenly appeared. and brought this amazing message that he's been born. Go to Bethlehem, you'll find the baby. And then alongside that angel, a whole host, heaven's armies, a whole host of angels joined and lit up the sky. And they sang peace, peace on earth. And that's that message. Part of the Christmas message is that God is wanting to bring us peace. Peace in the turmoil of our hearts and of our lives. And he's wanting to just bring in that sweet peace. I love the fact that it was a suddenly moment. We heard that twice in that passage. So if you are that person and you're kind of hanging on in there thinking, I'm not sure how long I can keep going in this situation, I'm watching through the night over this person. If you're that person, the suddenly moment is coming and the angels are just going to erupt. God's going to break into that situation and he is going to move. And he knows there is hope for you. I wanted to kind of step back because that's obviously New Testament, isn't it, when Jesus arrives? And I wanted to look at peace in the Old Testament. And there was one story that we looked at in Sammy September. If you were here in September, we looked at the life of Samuel. And we heard about his mum. His mum's name was Hannah. Her situation was like a little bit unusual in that her husband had another wife. In the UK, that doesn't really happen. But in other cultures, yes, it does still today. But Hannah was kind of like a little bit distraught because she desperately wanted a child, but she did not have a child. But the other wife, she had loads. She had loads of children. And she was worse than this. She just tormented Hannah and she mocked her. And she was just, every opportunity she got, if this was a pantomime, we would be booing the other wife, okay? Because she just wasn't a nice person. And Hannah got to that place where, together with her family, every year they went on a pilgrimage to the house of the Lord. And that day, Hannah was just like at her lowest place. Her story's in 1 Samuel. You might want to read it when you go home. I read it in about 4 versions. And in it, these are some of the ways in which Hannah is described, how the Bible describes Hannah. So we'll just take this off. Hopefully it'll all come off okay. Ta-da. So you can see from this, Hannah was in pain. She felt unseen. She was deeply troubled. She was crushed in the soul. She felt neglected, forgotten, sorrowful. Her heart was broken. She was miserable. There's other ways that she's described in 1 Samuel, and it says that she was like weeping bitterly. But Hannah, on that day, she sought out God's house. She sought out the house of the Lord. And God knows all of this about her. It wasn't a surprise when she got before him and when she started praying. It wasn't a surprise that all these emotions were there. But she didn't deny them. She just said to God, this is how I'm feeling. And she went and she prayed so intensely and so powerfully that her heart connected with God and her lips were moving, but words weren't actually coming out of her mouth. She was just like speaking away, but no sound was coming out of her mouth. And there was a priest who was in the house of the Lord. His name was Eli. And Eli was observing Hannah, and he just looked at her, and he thought, she's drunk. This woman has come into the house of the Lord, and she's drunk. And he went over to her, and he challenged her, and he just said, you shouldn't be coming in here drunk. And Hannah was able to explain to him, I'm not. She said, I am experiencing all of these things. All of this is happening in my life. And I've come here today to bring it to a God who sees and a God who hears and a God who can move in my life. And we're going to read now what Eli said when he heard her heart's cry. He said, "Go in peace, and may the God of Israel grant you what you've asked of him. Go in peace." Hannah brought all of this, and at that moment in the house of the Lord, there was this, I'm going to call it a divine exchange, because this is what she had to God. And God, I've just brought this from home. It's just like a really small box. It's just something that we've got at our house. Nothing ever came in it. But I think it's very pretty, and I think it's really beautiful, and it looks like it could hold something very precious. And this is what God extended to Hannah through those words, "Go in peace." So we bring to God all of this, all of our pain that he knows about anyway. And as you look there, you might link into some of those words, and you might be thinking, that's actually where I am. And God is extending to you this gift of peace. And he wants you to take that as you give him this hurt, this unseenness, this heartbreak, this misery from wherever it is in your life that you feel that you're at. I needed to tell you about a recent experience, so I hope that you can join me as I share this with you. So you've got a picture of the scene, is that okay? I'll try and describe it as best I can. As you can tell, I'm kind of like laughing about this a little bit. So I'm at our house, and it's one of those afternoons, you know, when you've got the place to yourself, and I love things like that. I love times like that when no one is in. I say no one, there's only Paul, but he's out and he's not coming back for a while. So I've got me knitting, right? I've got me brew. I've got me Mr. Kipling's Christmas slice because I'm a cheap date. I've got my blanket and I'm snuggled up on the sofa, and it's just the best. And I think, oh, I'd love to watch something nice on telly. You know, you just fancy something like that fits in with the mood. So I put the telly on, and there's this amazing, this documentary, and it's showing all these exotic animals. And you know, when they've got the babies with them, and I'm like, oh, this is lovely. This is just so right. And then the commentator's voice changes. So we've been up in the treetops with these beautiful birds and animals. And then suddenly he says, "And as the temperatures begin to rise," and I'm thinking, oh no, because I hate spiders. I hate them with a passion. And you know, when you know what's coming up next. And it went, "So there are signs of new life on the forest floor." And all of a sudden, the camera goes down to the forest floor, and it's all like these leaves, and they start moving like this. The whole screen is moving. And I could drop my knitting. It was that bad. And I'm trying to find the remote control, but I've got my eyes screwed up tight because I don't want to see what's on telly. And I'm pressing all these buttons, and this isn't the remote control that switches the telly on and off. There's another one for that. So I have to get up like this, and I'm trying to find this remote control just to get this television program off, because all these spiders are freaking me out. And they've gone. I share that because it took me a while to actually calm down after that, and to, you know, make another brew and have another Mr. Kipling slice. That's kind of a stupid example, but in my head, thoughts can be like that. So this week, preaching on peace, I was chatting with Lois about this earlier. I've had texts and emails and just conversations which have unsettled me and made me feel not peaceful. But I've had to like put them to one side, because I need to know that God has given me that gift of peace, and not to be dislodged or shaken off track by something, because that's the way that like Satan will take us down. He'll lodge a thought, and then suddenly we've gone from that thought to this scenario over here, and we don't even know how we've got there, but we're anxious and we're in turmoil and we're not at peace. But geez, that's in times like that, I need to get to Jesus quickly and say, please help. My head is spinning with all these thoughts. God, can I just give that back to you? And can you extend that gift, that peace back to me? The reason that that's important is that peace starts in us so that we can then spread it and share it with others. So that we're not like a blockage, but that peace can flow from us, that peace of God can flow out of who we are in our conversations with each other. One of the scriptures which was written hundreds of years ago, and it describes Jesus before he was even ever born, and it's from Isaiah chapter 9, and it says this, it says, to us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government will be on his shoulders, and he will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. And the Prince of Peace wants to bring that peace into our lives, wants us to be settled and calm, not spun out and anxious, but relying on him, the Prince of Peace. We just move now into the New Testament, and I wanted to kind of just share this chapter with you. I don't know if you could be able to see it or not, but in this Bible that I have, anything that is in red, that's when Jesus is speaking. And Jesus, just before he went to the cross, he said a lot of things to his disciples. He gave them a lot of wisdom. And one of the things that he said is from John 14. And he said, I am leaving you a gift, peace of mind and heart. And the peace I give isn't fragile like the peace the world gives. So don't be troubled or afraid. I looked at that verse in another version, the Amplified version, and it puts it like this. It says, is it come on screen? Don't let your heart be troubled, nor let it be afraid. Let my perfect peace calm you in every circumstance and give you courage and strength for every challenge. So to go back to the beginning, those shepherds are the shepherds in the room today who need that perfect peace of Jesus, who need that calm. Are the people in the room today watching online and you feel like Hannah, one of these or maybe more than that, it's just like that's you saying that's me, and Jesus wants to give you this gift of peace. So I'd like to pray for us now as I close this part. I'd like to pray for people who feel turmoil, who feel anxious, who feel they really need to know God with them. So we're just going to take a moment of quiet, and then I'm going to lead you into a little takeaway at the end. But for now, let's pray. Jesus, we don't want to hurry this moment. We don't want to rush your spirit. And God, we just ask that you will be near the brokenhearted today. Lord, that you will speak your sweet peace into lives who need to hear from you. Jesus, that you will draw alongside those whose spirits are crushed. Father, that your closeness will be just tangible. Spirit, that your presence will be that divine comfort. God, that you will move across this room. Lord, that you will lift anxiety and anxiousness and cares and worries that have come in. And God, that you will replace these things with your peace. The peace of God, the calm, the quiet, Lord, that we desperately need. Thank you, Jesus, for your promise to be with us and to speak peace into our lives. Would you do that now, Lord? Amen. Amen. We're going to finish with a couple of carols today. Ark the Herald, of course. But just before we do, got a little takeaway. It's kind of a little challenge that you might want to do later today. You might just want to think about somebody. I've called it calling all angels, because those angels on that hillside, they just brought such joy. So, can you be a joy bringer, or a good news giver, or a peacemaker today? Later on, maybe when you get home, get your phone out and think about somebody who's impacted your life, somebody who's had a positive influence, and just like drop them a message just saying, do you know what? Thank you. Thank you so much for being that person for me. Thank you, because that encourages other people and it encourages us, doesn't it, as we show gratitude in our lives to people who've really been a blessing to us.